This episode is sponsored by Long Beach Transit. Campus parking lot full? Doesn't matter. Road bus. Car people problems don't have to be your problem with a Go Beach Pass from Long Beach Transit. Visit ridelbt.com/CSUOB for more. Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 8 of Teed Up, where everyone's a sports expert. We are an original podcast created and produced by Long Beach State Student Newspaper, The Daily 49er. I'm Naoki.
I'm Maddie G.
And, you know, with the soccer... Not soccer... See, your kid's already throwing me off.
Hockey day.
Yeah, with the hockey season.
Everyone plays footy too, though.
That's true. With the hockey season just kind of in its infancy, it's been a couple weeks, right? 2 weeks in?
About 2 weeks.
We brought in two very special guests to talk about hockey. I mean, hockey is a sport that I'm not all that familiar with, but I'm here to learn, right? Maddie can only teach me so much, so I got two very special people here to talk about hockey with us. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Justin Gans. I am the public address center for Long Beach State Club Hockey. I've done stuff for 22 West and also Daily 49er doing basketball, soccer, and writing stories for the sports teams here.
What's up, guys? My name is Oliver. I am a history student here at Cal State Long Beach, so I'm not directly involved with any sort of like sports journalism or sports media. Just a fan, so definitely excited to be here to talk hockey. It's my favorite sport, so... Glad to be back.
See, I gotta get used to, like, I'm gonna be very quiet today.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like, I'm just gonna be sitting here.
These are the types of episodes that humble you. It's anytime we talk basketball and I just know I'm not getting any words in for probably like a good 15 minutes unless I just make up sign off the top of my head to like talk about Ja Morant or like DeAndre Ayton being bad at basketball, but I thought he was good.
No, he's okay. I wouldn't consider him, like, top.
He'd be hooping. Yeah.
He's going to start hooping in Portland. Shout out Portland. But as always, we're going to start out with some beach sports here. Yesterday, women's volleyball swept UC Irvine at Irvine. Matt Coleman
was there. Was he writing a story, too?
He wrote the story. We ended up having to use a photo from Athletics. We couldn't find a photographer to go.
Yeah.
49er, please. I'm willing to travel for games, for away games. I just need a gas reimbursement, please.
I don't think that one's happening, buddy.
It's not happening. Katie Kennedy, Elise Aggie, double-digit kills, 12 and 10. Zayna Meyer, 35 assists and 9 digs.
9 digs is a crazy number to come from your setter. Setter.
Yeah. Zayna Meyer, she's versatile. She's a versatile player. She had last night 3 kills on 8 attempts. The week prior, she almost had a triple-double. She had 8 or 9 kills last week with double-digit digs and assists.
Yeah.
She's like Russell Westbrook.
I mean, I know last week when we were talking about women's volleyball, I ended up saying just Zayna Meyer, Zayna Meyer, Zayna Meyer. Anytime we talk women's volleyball, it's Zayna Meyer.
Well,
she leads the offense. She runs the offense.
She's a superstar.
I mean, now the 9 digs too.
9 digs. And then women's soccer last night, BUC Riverside 3-1. We had 3 different scorers. Cassandra Ceja, Cherry Cox, Maddie Perez all score 1 each. And then we talked about a couple weeks ago when we had Manny and Kevin on that when they, following the loss that they had the night before, they had dropped down to dead last in the standings. Now they dropped up to 4th.
On the rise.
You know, so we kind of mentioned that with soccer now, this season, they were all within like half a game from each other.
Yeah, you're playing so few games early on, you can easily drop points if you have a bad start, but mid-season form's up, and I mean, it's kind of clicking.
These like couple weeks, and then the couple weeks are going to start following, going to get a lot of conference matchups.
Yeah.
And these are all the games that ultimately do matter to us in terms of how where we end up going in the standings and how we go into the tournament and stuff like that. Have you guys been to a lot of the games here at Long Beach State?
I've actually been to about like 3 volleyball games, and I've done, I did the opening game against Texas for 22 West Radio, doing color commentary. And I also went to the game, against Harvard. I split time basically at the Pyramid and also at George Allen Field, going to both games, ended up getting the win. I think we've won. So I've been a lucky charm all the women's sports here.
What about you, Oliver?
So I've been to a few with Matt G. We went to a couple volleyball games. Yeah.
He was there at Texas.
Soccer. But I also, a couple years ago, I like lived in the dorms. And one of my like dorm mates like across the hall was Lena Solano. I think she actually just got drafted like 2 years ago or last year to the Washington
you're telling me that you're able to go out to an NWSL game if you wanted.
That would be sick. I mean, shout out Lena. You know, congrats. She's living the big life. But she was awesome. And so the past few years, I would, like, try to go out and, like, you know, go to the games when I could. So
she's a legend.
She's amazing.
That senior season that she had last year was
the bicycle kick.
That was crazy. Man. Yeah, that thing's like on ESPN all the time. Yeah.
But like I said, this is gonna be a very hockey heavy episode with the season just kind of starting up. But Maddie, you had something you wanted to tell us before we start this.
Yeah, before we get into hockey, I guess just like we are a sports podcast first and foremost, but I know like coming off the themes of October and just talking about more progressive things and activism, I think it's pretty important to note what's been happening in soccer the last couple of weeks. And with the Palestine and Israel situation, there was multiple players from their club teams who were suspended after posting like pro-Palestine things. It was Mazraoui for Bayern Munich, El Ghazi, I forget the club he was currently playing, I think it was Mainz, and then it was Yusuf Atal. And all three of them were suspended from their clubs for posting pro-Palestine stuff, whereas like Zinchenko for Arsenal has been posting pro-Israel stuff. Nothing happened. And I think the big one was yesterday, Mo Salah came out in support of Palestine. So I do want to see kind of what happens there. I know he's had a lot of critiques, but it's just a sign where I feel like as a player, you should be able to speak what you want to speak on. Mm-hmm. They aren't saying anything necessarily harmful, and they're just kind of get out their takes.
Mm.
And then going off of that, I think it's also important to jump into hockey and kind of like the early big discussion, which came out right as our October episode dropped. I just wrote an opinion piece about how sports need to be more inclusive. And then the NHL banned Pride Tape.
Oh. Hockey is for everybody.
Hockey is for everybody.
Hockey is for everybody.
I mean, like, when the star of your league is Connor McDavid and he's so openly, like, supportive of everything, he was one of the first players to talk about how disappointed he was in the decision. I just don't understand how they pulled back everything.
You're absolutely – I think bringing up McDavid is one thing, but I think notoriously the last, like, 10 years, Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins has been a pretty notable, like, villain in the league. He's been pretty – I mean, he goes for cheap shots. He's pretty negative. He, like, bullies people on Twitter. But, I mean, even he came out and was like, I think it's absolutely ridiculous that you can't represent or stand for the things that you want to represent and stand for. And he thinks that – I think it was a – he thinks it was a bad move on behalf of the NHL, and I kind of agree.
Did the league say something else, like, why they did it?
No.
So the way the league kind of got around it was they decided to say they're shelving all of it. They're like, we're not going to allow Military Night. We're not going to allow Indigenous Peoples Night, Latinx Heritage Night. None of it's going to happen. Players aren't going to be forced to wear anything. They're just going to wear their normal jerseys. The teams can, like, still do their thing, but they can't wear a jersey. They can't wear Pride Tape.
Wow. But despite all this stuff that's happening, the NHL is actually creating something called a community blog talking about these issues, which is kind of interesting. They're like, oh, you know, you can have these nights, but you can't wear anything, you know, that shows you support it in a way, which I thought was a really interesting, you know, topic, especially when it comes to being super inclusive for everybody. And I think it's really important, you know, for a league that has never really been that inclusive at the beginning, you know, of it, you know, early 2010s, because the whole Pride thing, actually, I remember it started during the 2016-2017 season, and people actually really loved it. And then when some players last year started talking about it and saying, like, oh, you know, I don't think it's right, the league was like, okay, we should probably now stop talking about this. And I'm like, why? This is important. Just keep it in there. And I think Pride Tape is awesome. We saw it in juniors and stuff. Jarrett Anderson Dolan, a Kings player, he used to wear it, the Pride Tape, when he was playing for the Spokane Chiefs at WHL. And he has been a huge supporter due to him having two moms as well.
I think these conversations, just in hockey especially, are incredibly important because for so long, hockey has been dominated by a very, like, white male, like, environment. And oftentimes anybody who plays, like, hockey, if, like, the chirping or the roast that you get, like, a lot of it is either homophobic or racist or sexist, or a lot of the narrative and rhetoric in hockey is extremely
dated.
And like it's very old-fashioned, and it's a lot of it is offensive. And I think by not having these conversations or allowing players to represent, you know, like a, like I support like the LGBTQ plus community, like I think it's reinforcing that kind of like white man's like kind of club, if that makes sense.
Because you brought up that they had also like done away with like a lot of the other different types of themed nights or themed jerseys that they would do.
Yeah.
Like, do you think they did that as kind of like, well, I think it was it's cover not up. Just this. Yeah. It's like, well, we're also not doing these either.
I think it was just trying to take the pressure off of it. But their main thing was that, because it was the one that, like, so much was happening.
Absolutely had the most backlash.
Exactly, because a lot of players were, like, choosing not to wear it. There's a lot of pushback from a lot of the Russian players, and so it just became, like, a big deal. Mm-hmm. And, like, the last thing I really wanted to say about it, I guess, in general, is because hockey, I know a lot of people say, is, like, becoming the most inclusive sport in the way, like, the league was doing all these things. But I do think it's a league that really doesn't get questioned for its issues as much as it should. Mm-hmm, yeah. You have, like, the Kyle Beach stuff. You have Mitchell Miller.
Oh, my gosh.
You have Akeem Aliyu.
The 2018 Men's World Canada Junior, team. Like, champion.
And there's just so many things where you can look at hockey and, like, issues that happen. Yeah. And no one really talks about enough.
Well, like Oliver, so these are important conversations that we need to have. In hockey, yeah, but, like, in general in all sports, right? Like, I know in the NBA, in the NFL, in the MLB, and where they've been progressing – but this is like on an international level, this is a topic of conversation that we should be having with the whole thing and what happened in the World Cup, last year in Qatar, and all the big headlines that came out of that, you know, in regards to the LGBTQ representation, as the World Cup was happening there. But I mean, we could talk about this for days.
Absolutely.
but Justin, you, so let's talk some early season hockey. So you put on the screen, I see that Austin Matthews is having a pretty good start to the year.
Yeah, Austin Matthews, who Oliver is wearing the jersey for.
Poppy.
He is a,
I didn't even know.
He's a California-based native from Glendale, California. Matthews is probably the first, he's the first guy in a long time to actually do this, and I've never seen this in my lifetime. Matthews has scored basically back-to-back hat tricks in both games in the first two games of the season.
Wow.
I've never seen that before. And all Leafs fans are always like, oh, this is our year. Well, if anything's about this is your year, Matthews going back-to-back, that shows something. But watch out for Detroit because they're going to be coming at – they're looking really good for this season as well. But, yeah, Matthews has always been a great player. The past, say, 6 to 5 years have always been about – him versus Connor McDavid, and now throwing Connor Bedard, the newest draft pick from the Chicago Blackhawks, come in. Three of them, you know, they could all go for top scorers and top point getters throughout the league this season. And, yeah, I think Austin Matthews is going to have a tremendous season. Everyone's saying, oh, he's going to get, like, 60 goals. He plays the way he's been playing. He's going to probably get 65 or maybe even 70.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I really – thanks, someone in the room really enjoys the extra glazing for Austin Matthews, but take it easy on his hopes there. I see him get let down every year, and I don't know if I can handle it again this year.
Hey, yeah, every year it is a letdown, but I will say real tears were shed when we finally broke the first-round curse last year, so I fell to my knees.
You did say it was your Stanley
like,
Cup.
It was my Stanley Cup. I did not, truthfully, I did not care about this Panthers
series. I don't
series.
Know about that. The photos I took of you the night that happened weren't the prettiest.
This is true, but it's also just because...
That was just a lot of like this.
This is true, but you know my stance on like warmer climates of like having hockey. So the fact we lost to a Florida team, I think is the only reason that like it was testy for me. Because like if we lost to the Knights, if we lost to like the Coyotes, like any like desert team, any hot climate team, I'd be like, all right. And we did. We lost to Florida, so that was...
Well, Oliver, I do want to say, you might have lost to a warm climate team, but you beat a warm climate team in Tampa after losing in Game 7 the year prior, so it's a 50-50 right there, but hey, you got your domination, Austin Matthews coming in. John Tavares...
Trade John Tavares. He's a cap... He's a cap liability. He is old and aging... Trade him. Get rid of him.
I agree. Here's the thing. I think John Tavares is definitely, you know, past his prime. We just saw Jake Muzzin retire from the Leafs this past couple weeks. But
R.I.P. Muzzin.
Yeah.
He's not dead. He's just in Canada right now. So
on that, what would you say? Let's go with Maddie. What would you say are the three players or the three teams that you think will take a big leap this year compared to last year?
I added this one very last second. I know Oliver put in like half these players, but I put in Pierre-Luc Dubois personally.
I agree.
There's a lot of flack Pierre-Luc Dubois has got just across his career in like Winnipeg, Columbus. Everyone's saying he's a quitter. He had no motivation to play. And I mean, some of that's probably true. I don't know how many people want to play for either of those franchises personally. They're not the best teams, quality-wise or history-wise, but Dubois signed an 8-year deal here. He said he wants to compete. He came to compete. And so for him to get the goal against Winnipeg felt probably really good. And I really liked his response where he was like, I thought the boos were going to be louder.
Yeah.
And then he scored 2 against Minnesota last night. So I do think Dubois is one of those big players. And then the Canucks.
Heating up.
I've been high on Pedersen for the longest time.
Do you think the Canucks are going to keep him? Do you think they're going to be able
to? I think he's going to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to be there.
That is a dumpster fire. Speaking of, okay, so in the little segment that I just did where he was talking about which players are going to step up, so Detroit, that's the one that I really wanted to talk about. So Steve Yzerman, you know, he's the GM. He brought Tampa to back-to-back cups, cup wins. I think they went 3 years in a row too, which was amazing. I trust the Iser plan in Detroit. He left Tampa to go to Detroit, and already as of last year, there's already like a huge step up. I mean, looking at this year so far, Detroit is leading the Eastern Conference. And I mean, with players like Larkin, DeBrincat, Sider, Wallman, and and Raymond on that first line, like, I think you got a pretty good team right there. And I think I trust Steve Yzerman, and I don't know. I think hockey is, there's like a passion back in Detroit. Like, if you watch the games, there's like an energy.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch.
I would agree with that, because you take a look, you know, Wings fans are back. It's looking like they're back at the Joe. You know, those fans are so passionate. And I do want to touch about PL Dubois, you know, historic night back in Winnipeg. The trade that sent him to LA gave the Jets Rasmus Kupari, Alex Iafallo, and Gabriel Vilardi. In my opinion, I think that trade has worked out for the Kings, but will it work out long term? I don't really know. But I do think that PL Dubois has had a great, you know, 2 games out of the season. Hopefully he can continue it against Boston and the rest of the week for next week. And I also think that he was expecting more boos, but he said, you know, you'll also be hearing a lot of dubs as well. And Winnipeg had the worst attendance record, only getting 11,000 fans from that game against the Kings.
Yeah, going off of that, I got a question for you guys. Well, let's jump into banana break really quick.
Yeah.
I love to pose a question always for these. What do you guys know about the University of Maine and hockey specifically?
Nothing.
Yeah, I do. Oh. Paul Kariya.
Okay. Ooh. I didn't even know that.
Ducks Fred. Legend, Ducks Goat.
What do you know about Bananas T-Bear?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Bananas T-Bear.
Bananas T-Bear.
I don't know what you're saying.
I have no idea what that is.
He's the mascot for the University of Maine hockey. Sick. Well, just all sports. And he's literally just a bear named Bananas T-Bear, because I guess when he first got displayed, it was at a University of Maine hockey game, and all the fans went bananas, apparently. So they're like, let's name this man Bananas T-Bear. I just thought this was a really good little college hockey segue. That, like, shouldn't exist, but it does. And I feel like that's always something with banana break. Like, I came in this week, had like 2 things, maybe 1 known, found the random things from just typing in NHL banana.
There you go.
And then the other one, I mean, we talked about the Kings a little bit, but Adrian Kempe eats banana tacos and said he's been doing it for a long time. I know he's from Sweden. They got weird foods over there. They love their like salted fishes and like cured fish. But this man's
just don't salt your fish? You don't put salt on your fish when you eat fish?
I'm actually vegetarian now, so I don't eat fish at all, but...
So you think you're better than me, huh?
When I did eat fish, I don't think I put salt on it. Maybe.
You're like a chef, though. Like, you,
well,
you
I would
don't
salt
season
it when I seasoned it.
It,
yeah, but like I'm talking about cured fish.
Oh, okay.
I ain't eating sardines.
Real.
And I ain't eating bananas on my tacos, but okay. I have a feeling I will be towards the end of the season.
Would you guys eat bananas on your tacos like Adrian Kempe?
I would if I had to for the pod.
Mexican tacos, they put, you know, pineapple on the tacos.
That's true.
So it could be, you know, maybe thinly sliced bananas on the tacos. So I would probably try it if you put some good salsa on it. But, you know, give it a little sweet flavor to it.
I'd try bananas?
I feel like the pineapple tacos might have came north of the border, personally.
We're going to have to eat this at the end of
this
season.
This is intense.
And then the last little banana break fact, a quick one here, but Andrew Kuzmenko, there's a video of him on the ice, eating a banana on the bench, and then quickly chasing off a swig of Pepsi. Beautiful. Beautiful game. I mean, hockey's the only sport, I feel like, where you see players casually just, like, taking swigs of Pepsi on the bench.
Didn't
Coke.
Ovi do that, too?
Ovi was notorious for drinking Coke on the bench for rehydration.
And
maybe we have to get a Coke break next season.
Phil Kessel hot dog water.
Oh, yeah.
Phil Kessel loves his hot dog water.
Blake Coleman pickle juice.
We talked about that last season.
Yeah,
a classic.
This year in hockey, the rookie class is honestly unlike anything I've ever seen. And at the end of every year, they give out an award called the Calder Trophy, and it's for the rookie that showed the most promise, the most skill in the rookie season. This year, like I said, I have never seen anything like the Calder race. There are insane names up for it. We briefly talked about him, Connor Bedard, the like largest prospect coming out of NHL, and since almost I could even remember since McDavid or Sidney Crosby. Incredible. So, I mean, he's on the Blackhawks right now. I think he has 3 points in four games or something.
Is he a bust?
Yeah. Is he a bust?
One goal?
One goal? Like, 1 point in his first game? Like, come on.
Seems kind of mediocre to me personally.
Well, if you guys take a look back, Bedard's first assist, incredible.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
shown poise for sure. I'd say Bedard's in the running. The one that I really, really wanted to talk about that I
Matthew
Nyes on the Leafs, he was incredible last year. He played, I think, one regular season game against the Rangers, and then he was thrust into playoffs where he got a goal and a couple points. He was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely helped us get out of the first round. But the true one that I think is going to get the Calder, Logan Cooley, Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
Cooley was dangerous in the preseason. That goal, the Spinarama goal, was
Spinarama
insane.
On his knees, technically.
Yeah,
almost.
He fell too. He didn't even see the follow through. He didn't even know he scored. I think Cooley's going to be pretty legit. Yeah. And Arizona's heating up. And I think Arizona might be pretty good this year.
Sorry. And Logan Cooley is an American, and I think he'll definitely make his way on to another World Juniors or even to the World Championship squads come May. But yeah, Cooley's been killing it for the Yotes so far. Arizona's been actually doing really well.
I think to summarize it, I think Cooley's getting it. What about you?
I agree.
You know, I only really know a couple of names on this list, if I'm being honest. We're going to go for a wild card here. Give me Devon Levi.
Yeah. Okay,
Buffalo's had a slow start at the end of the year. Yeah. But, I mean, if they put things together, go to a playoff run, I think goalies sometimes get it. But is Askarov in contention for the Calder?
He might. It just depends because the Preds.
Did he play enough games?
Well, the Preds have been having, I think, UC Saros play.
Okay.
More, but Askarov is the backup. But I would definitely say, like, for my pick, between Bedard and Cooley, it just depends how each one plays. Obviously, they both play a different style, but. Right as of right now, Logan Cooley's got my Calder vote.
Yeah,
Cooley reminds me of Beniers, and Beniers won it last year. So yeah,
I want to give Naoki a quick chance to put in a little opinion on this because he has had nothing to talk about all episode.
Let's hear.
You know what we talked about this.
Well, so I was going to tell you, Connor Bedard.
Yeah.
Right, and so if Connor Bedard doesn't win the Rookie of the Year,
okay,
like is he a complete and utter disappointment to everyone? And then for you, I guess it'd be the same for like Wimby. If Wimby doesn't win Rookie of the Year this year,
I was about to say we compared Connor Bedard
to Wimby
last week to. Yeah, Victor Wembanyama of the NBA.
I was going
to
say, explain in NBA terms.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
I would... See, I don't quite understand... We talked about this last week, what the hype around Connor Bedard is.
Mm-hmm.
I would have the same stance, right? Like, if Victor Wembanyama does not win Rookie of the Year this year, I would be disappointed.
Yeah.
Because of all just the hype that's surrounded him since he's... been like 16 or 17 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I had to pick, I think I would just go with Connor Bedard. Yeah. He's the only name in here that I'm somewhat familiar with.
So I know nothing about basketball. In terms of like for prospects breaking out, is it usually a pretty like first year you're on the team, you like are okay, you're good? Because like in NHL, it can take like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Yes, but you're expected
to
contribute year one if
this
you're like
is
a number one
to
pick.
To contribute if you're an first overall pick,
yeah, you're expected.
Contribution,
I mean, Lafreniere is like,
Jack Hughes was considered the biggest bust of all, like even more than Yakupov.
Yeah.
So I mean, so in the NBA,
because in the NBA, like a lot of the top draft picks within the last like maybe 2 decades have been like either kids who have been like international prospects who are coming from like EuroLeague or like they've been playing professional basketball since they were like 14 or whatever, or they're college true freshmen, right? So they're like these guys are like 19 years old because. They have the most upside, the most potential. Like, you don't draft a guy that's, like, 22, 23 because they've already, like, kind of figured out what their play style is. So you draft, like, an older prospect as a supplementary piece, but you draft, like, a Victor Wembanyama who's, like, 19 years old.
You can mold him.
You can mold him. He's 7'4", plays like a guy who's six feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, the thing about Victor Wembanyama that's been, like, super hyped up. It's just, like, what his skill set is for how big he is mm-hmm. that's what makes him like stand out as much. But when it comes to like expectations, yeah, like you're the first overall pick. You're supposed to be like the cornerstone of a franchise for many, many years to come. And I think that happened. I think the person that really started that was like LeBron, like in 2003, mm-hmm. who was like the hometown kid, that he was like nicknamed the chosen one mm-hmm. as he was still in high school, like as a junior in high school.
Yeah.
So, and then now look at what he's accomplished. It's like he's been like the standard for like number one picks, but then we've had like
Zion.
And it's also his size too, right? Because you're talking about, was it
Wemby?
Wemby.
He's like 7'4".
He's big, right? Bedard, that dude is tiny.
Oh, Bedard's a,
Like in the prospects,
hockey,
like
hockey's 18-year-olds coming into like playing against men.
Yeah.
It's his size if he's a bust or not. So Wemby, since he's big, if he's good this year, he's not a bust. Bedard, if he's not good this year, he's a bust because he's
small. Like we're going to find out in hockey, size matters.
Oh, size matters in hockey, guys. You heard it here first. Hey, we're on thin ice on this episode.
Already.
Already.
For me, I would basically want to kind of have a little counter argument. Does size matter? Yes, but also no. If you're fast and you got speed and you can score, you know, you could take over the league.
So if you got quick hands, quick fingers, and size, you're good in the league.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a good shot. You always got to have a good shot and good passing.
Shoot or shoot.
Ja Morant.
Second time we mentioned him.
Ja Morant.
I think that's a good point
is my
to
shooter.
Be.
Oh my
before we God. Say anything else. All
right. Before we this gets any worse, we're
please keep Ja Morant. Please keep that one in.
We're gonna
quick hands.
He's
quick
gonna wait. He's gonna wait 25 games to play. He's gonna wait 25 games to play.
Dude, shoot or shoot, man.
Shoot or shoot.
What are you gonna say?
All right. Let's end this. Thank you to our sponsor, Long Beach Transit. The next time your friend is going on about high gas prices, hit him with a doesn't matter road bus. Because car people problems just aren't your problem with the Go Beach Pass from Long Beach Transit. Visit rideobt.com/CSUOB for more. Thank you so much for joining us for season 2, episode 8 of Teed Up. Thank you to our video editor and producer, Aiden Swanepoel, and our multimedia producer, Al Nicklin. If you want to stay up to date on the latest in Long Beach State sports, check out our website, daily49er.com, and follow us on socials at daily49er. That hockey season around the corner. I still have to find a team. I still don't know who I should support. But thank you, Justin and Oliver, for coming on the show, for your insight and your passion. It's commendable.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And anybody that wants to go check out a game for Long Beach State, they play at Lakewood Ice on Fridays, 7:30, and also Saturdays at 7:30. And follow them on LBSU Hockey on Instagram.
There you go. We see you on the next one.